party people! Roach, here he is. Roach, here he is. Hey! Roach! Shaka-laka, shaka-laka, shaka-laka. Roach!
He joins us each and every day. He's been the best at his craft for about 35 years in this state. Michelangelo Rucci. Rucci, good morning. It's for Powers, Paraford Airport Liquor Store, of course, our good friends at Powers. Morning to you, Rucci.
Hello, Kane. Hello, Andrew. October's about to disappear. In that pre-COVID era, we used to love the end of October because there'd be the day where the AFL would give you a full fixture. Now we've had a couple of years where it chops and changes. We understand why, because of lockdowns and travel restrictions and border closures. Now, assuming, and it's a big assumption, that we can get to some sort of normality next year with the double vax rate rising, what do you want? A full fixture? Or do you want the AFL to say, well, we'll tell you who you're playing, we'll lock in some venues, but we'll decide on six-week blocks how we're going to actually play out this 2022 AFL Premiership season?
Well, it's a question, I think, for the fans. It's not necessarily a question of what I want, because you know, don't have to plan your life around, oh, I might go and watch Port Adelaide play in Tassie in July, and that'll be a nice trip away that we can plan, go and play Hawthorn down there, and family will come, and that's a trip we want to go. You can't do that, as a lot of Crows and Port Adelaide fans have done for years and years and years, is plan their lives around the footy fixture. So that is one of the detrimental things behind that. But equally, you know, last year, if you had a fixtured West Coast versus, I don't know, Carlton on a Friday night later on in the year, you thought, oh, that's going to be a reasonable game. Both teams stank. So, yeah, there's pros and cons, isn't there, Rooch?
Well, the biggest pro is that one with Friday night football or all the big time slots where you want to make sure you've got games that have more than just the two teams and their supporter bases carrying interest. We don't want those Friday nights where you go, oh, we've got Carlton again, you know, when they're 3-12 or something like that. So I'm intrigued as to how Travis Old, who's had the toughest job with that fixture for 2 years now, how he's kept his sanity when he's had to make so many fixture changes over the past 2 years is interesting. But it'd be intriguing. The fans are the key point here. And the other thing about the fans is, 2 years of the major centre of Australian football in Victoria being in lockdown and people getting used to watching so much of their football on television and seeing a different game in that way. What sort of sales pitch is going to be needed to get them back to venues? Or is it just a guarantee that after 2 years of being locked out of games, they're just naturally going to come back?
I think there'll be some hesitancy. I don't think we'll see crowds return to, you know, 2019 levels.
We expected that, Roach, with Adelaide Oval. We expected just to be chock-a-block as soon as the restrictions were half lifted and we weren't getting the numbers.
Yeah, so it's going to be some interesting decisions that Travis Old and the AFL are going to have to make on how they work that fixture, how they work the luring of fans back to the gates. And even their ticket pricing will be interesting when they make that decision in a month or so. So a bit on the plate there at AFL House with the fixture.
Rooch, what about this for a bunch of young guns coming out of contract at the end of 2022 at Port Adelaide? Rosie, Amon Jones, Burton, Marshall, Butters, Dersmer, Drew. Who are you going after first to try and lock away?
Well, that's a good question. But the other bit about that is, what does it bring out of those blokes to get to be first at the table to get a contract as well? So there's a bit of pressure all around at Port Adelaide to actually deliver next year, isn't there? It's not just on one man's shoulders, and Ken Hinckley's the one who's always pointed out as the man under the most pressure at Port Adelaide next year. There's a fair few players who are going to have to justify their existence as well. Now, it's always been interesting of those three, Rosie, Butters and Dersmer, who were, you know, the triple treat that Port Adelaide got as first-round draftees a few years back. What were our rankings of those three straight after they were drafted? What would the rankings of that trio be today?
Well, Rosie was one. And they all sort of burst onto the scene, but now Butters is far and away.
Butters is the one who's really risen, hasn't he?
He has. And we haven't you know, for obvious reasons, haven't seen what he's capable of yet. But everyone's telling me he's going to be extraordinary. I just hope that that knee and that ankle and whatever else comes together and he gets a good run at it.
Regardless of contracts, Andrew, the one player I do want to see, particularly after he had so many setbacks this year, and just see what he can do to just shake up Port Adelaide and the AFL, is Lachie Jones. I think we all saw at the start of last year that he has that ability to be a cult figure for Port Adelaide, and it's going to be interesting if he's a half-back or a wingman as well. So, and then they've used him as a half-forward. So I think if you were to say who could draw you to the gate of Port Adelaide next year as a young player to just give you something in terms of excitement, I think Lachie Jones is the one I'm penciling in for 2022.
Yeah, and if it is, if we are talking positions, Roach, for me, I want him in the back line because I want him playing on the most dangerous small to medium forward, because just his explosiveness and his strength and his defensive mindset as well when he's on a player is absolutely elite, and he can do a sensational job.
Well, we'll see how this plays out next year and how the contract rollouts come along as well.
We will, Roach.